Hello, my friend, and welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. It is the 17th day of September, and I want to thank you for joining me on this Friday. No long-form Friday this week. I'm in the depths of this Cain and Abel story and God talking to Cain, and I don't want to break away from this. We're just going to stay with it. I do want to let you in on a date that's coming up. I'll give you more details soon, but next Friday night, I'm in Chapin, South Carolina. That's the 24th day of September. That's our monthly meeting in Chapin. That's in the Columbia, South Carolina area, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then on Sunday, the 26th of September, we are in Flowery Branch for our monthly meeting there. That's at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Then October the 3rd, I will be on a Sunday morning. I will be at my father's church, Southside General Baptist Church of Poplar Bluff. I'll be there on the third day of October at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. So South Carolina, Georgia, Missouri coming up in the next couple of weeks. If you're in any of those areas, come see us. All of the locations, dates, times are on my website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. You can also see the event pages at our Facebook page, Paul White Ministries. All right, enough announcements. Tomorrow we'll be announcing the Sunday sermon. That's coming up. I'll tell you all about it. But for today, very excited to jump back in. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. Where's Abel, your brother? Cain says to God, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, we're reading this in English, of course. And we translate words one way or the other. And then a lot of times we can miss the flavor of it because of the adjective in front of it or because the context that it's placed in. But if we were seeing it in Hebrew, we might notice that something has been repeated in the narrative. That's that word keeper, shamar. Shamar in the Hebrew, really to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to attend to take heed, to observe, to preserve. It gets translated into the English as keep and observe and keeper and mark and beware and save and even several times watchman. And so there's a watchman's a pretty good one if you think about it. It kind of says it all. You're on guard. You're watching. That's the phrase that Cain uses to God. Am I my brother's shamar? Am I my brother's watchman? Am I his keeper? The argument I've been making for the last couple of days is the answer is always yes. That's the point, is you are your brother's keeper, and the New Testament expands on that and builds on that, shows us that in Jesus. We watched the Apostle Paul deal with that. We did that yesterday. We watch how John contrasts what true love is with Cain, a murderer, which shows us that you really want to know what love is, it is the keeping of your brother. All of those things are relevant, they're important. But in the context of the narrative, this is not the first time that the word shamar has shown up in this narrative. Let me show you a couple of times before. I think you're going to see how there's a message being sent to us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it, to cultivate and shamar it, to guard it, to be a watchman over the ground. There's that word. Now, it comes back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to shamar the way to the tree of life, to guard the way to the tree of life. So it's part of our understanding, based upon what we know about this word, that what God is saying to us is we have a watchman-like responsibility over the earth that is much like the watchman responsibility of the angelic hosts of heaven, whatever God puts them over, whatever is in their purview. Shamar is being compared in these two passages. Just as the angelic hosts of heaven answer to God and take care of whatever they are supposed to take care of. You and I, the created sons of God, take care of whatever we're supposed to take care of. And we should tend to the earth with the same attentiveness that the angel tends to whatever their assignment is. Cain will use that word when he's confronted by God. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I the shamar over him? Am I to treat him the way you told us to treat the earth, the way angels are to treat whatever they are given watch over? And when you read it in that context, you realize in a way that Cain is throwing this back at God. Do you mean to tell me that I am as responsible for Abel as you made my dad responsible for the earth, and as responsible as you make your own created angels to carry out your will? And the answer becomes a definitive yes, which shows me that loving your brother and how you treat your brother and how you respond to your brother is as important as any other thing we are given. Whenever you see people who elevate the treatment of nature or animals above their treatment of people, they have a Cain mentality. And this exists in the world, where we weep when they knock a tree down, but we don't weep over people starving to death. Well, those people starving to death, they had an opportunity and they missed it. Or they live in a society of poverty and despotism, or they made bad decisions, or they've made wrong choices, but that poor tree or that puppy dog, he didn't have anything to do with the violence of this world, and there's violence being meted out upon him. To me, that's a Cain mentality. It's Cain saying to God, you mean to tell me I'm supposed to care for Abel with the same force that your angels care for your will, and that I'm supposed to care for the trees and the rivers and the earth beneath me? No possible way. And in fact, what we will find is that God does not wrap himself in human flesh to die for the earth, but he does wrap himself in human flesh to die for man. So at the end of the day, that which is guarded with the most force, the most love, is Abel. All of us Abels. All of us who watch out for or keep something else. How important is it that we put man on the level that he belongs? What is the level that he belongs? That's, to me, that is the Genesis 4 story, is to try and understand the level upon which man belongs. I don't think I'm there. I'm trying. I want to put man where he belongs. I'm coming to the conclusion that I can't properly do that until I orient myself properly in the world. And if I can sort out where I belong, who I am in him, maybe I'll start to do that for others. And I think that's an answer for all of us. Let's sort where we belong. Cain didn't know where he belonged, and he didn't deal with the emotion and the anger that was part of that, and that caused him to turn on his brother. We have to deal with who we are. If we can deal with who we are, we can deal with who they are. But if we're struggling with dealing with who they are, it might be because we haven't dealt with who we are. Let's start there. That's always a good idea. Or as Jesus said, don't worry so much about the speck in your neighbor's eye until you can take care of the beam in your own. Well, let's begin there. More to do from Cain and Abel tomorrow. See you then.